Welcome to Catalyst Conversations, the podcast that brings you real-world stories and solutions from a wide variety of acoustic experts. Each episode, we'll dive into a different topic from the world of acoustics, such as architectural and industrial noise control, seismic and vibration restraint, acoustical testing, or innovative design and engineering of sound control products. Our experts have decades of experience in this space and are eager to share their expertise with you. Join us in making the world a quieter place.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Catalyst Conversations. Today's topic is focused on a music practice rooms project involving IAC Acoustics and Quiet Star Industries at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. The discussion will be led by Rodrigo Musquez from IAC and Steve Dutton from Quiet Star. IAC Acoustics is a leader in noise control, offering acoustic metal solutions for industrial, architectural, HVAC, and medical applications, and is currently celebrating its 75th anniversary in business. Quiet Star is the Northeast's leading provider in turnkey noise control solutions in both industrial and architectural sectors, and includes offerings with state-of-the-art noise-reducing rooms, doors, windows, barriers, enclosures, and air-moving attenuators. And now, let's get started with today's conversation.
My name is Rodrigo Musquez, and I'm excited to introduce you to today's podcast, where I am joined by Steve Dutton of Quiet Star Industries. For a quick background, I'm starting on year four with the company. First couple of years, I led the manufacturing facility in the North Aurora facility in Illinois. Since last year, I transitioned to the commercial side of the business. Currently, I'm at the Architectural Enclosures Sales Manager at IAC, which includes recording studios, music practice rooms, audiology booths, among others. And Steve, I'll pass it over to you to share a little information about yourself.
Oh, great. Thank you, Rodrigo. My name is Steve Dutton. In 2006, I started with a partner, Quiet Star Industries, which was a rep firm specifically designed to represent the IAC products. Before then, all the way back to 1993, I've been in the industry more on the manufacturing end, and working with the Berklee College of Music from both sides of the equation in terms of when, you know, Quiet Star Industries and even earlier when I was in manufacturing. So I know the Berklee College of Music folks very well, and been doing this for a long time, was a partner in the Quiet Star Industries up until last year, which I ended up going into a more consulting role. And I've been doing that ever since.
So thank you, Steve. Let's start with some details about this project specifically at Berklee College of Music. What was the issue that was presented to you, or how was it presented?
Well, so the Berklee College of Music is in it's in really downtown Boston, which as an aside is where I grew up, my hometown. But it's a really old historic district. Fenway Park is right around the corner, and that was built in 1912. The finish line for the Boston Marathon is right on Boylston Street, right across from actually a church called the Old South Church that I'm actually grew up as a member of, and that was established in 1669. So it's a very, very old part of the country, and so the Berklee College of Music is right in the center of this vibrant historic area. And while that's all really well and good, it makes for some challenges in terms of, kind of having modern amenities, especially if you're, in this case, a school of music and you expect certain things. You can't just have a 100-year-old building and have it be, it's cute that it's historic, but it also has to be modern, and it has to be efficient for the students. So they had a bunch of practice rooms that were over 40 years old, and they were in the basement of several buildings in Berklee, like many schools that are in a metropolitan area, kind of buys up buildings as they need them, but they're old. And this one old building was an old bank, and it was in the basement, and they had these practice rooms that were, after 40 years of students being in and out of them, they were pretty decrepit. So they wanted to clean that area up. And so they came to us and they were saying, you know, what can we do and what have you. And so we kind of put together, kind of an idea of what was possible. And then we just moved forward from there. Some of the challenges that we had on the project, again, I kind of alluded to it, was, you know, look, it's not only a 100-year-old building, but access to it is having trouble as well.
So thank you, Steve. What were some of the unique challenges that were faced with this project, and what were the expected timelines?
I guess probably the biggest challenge, and again, I alluded to how old these buildings are, and even the deepest, darkest basement can be cleaned up, but getting in to the building itself was probably the most difficult thing, without elevators and stairways that were very limited in their size and their access. So we ended up doing a lot of small deliveries that were bite size, and that was one of the challenges that we faced. Other challenges, trying to reconfigure a space and maximize the use without being able to see it empty and open. I mean, they weren't going to tear down the practice center or the area before, you know, we could design our room. So we had to design with some flexibility in mind. And so, you know, getting access, going in bite-sized deliveries where the guys might spend 2 hours every morning bringing in the panels for rooms, as opposed to trying to bring in all of them at once and having nowhere to put them. And then in order to meet the challenge of not really knowing what the space was going to be like, we actually used some common size panels where the rooms could be shrunken or grown on site if an obstacle came in the way. Like, you know, again, a 100-year-old building doesn't have blueprints. And if we get behind this area and, oh my goodness, there's a sewer pipe that we can't move, or there's something like that. So we did a lot of work ahead of time to make sure that A, we had a good plan, but B, that we had flexibility in that plan. And a lot of times with most modular manufacturers, you know, they get a size, they want to use it, and if it doesn't fit, you're kind of out of luck. Well, here we had an ability where our size had some flexibility, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear, you know, all those challenges, because most of the times, or the things, the projects that I've been involved with, it's typically an open space, you know, first or second floor, and there's not a lot of barriers, you know, to entry. It seems like in this one, there was a lot of thought process put into place when designing and trying to, you know, determine how long or your timeline for the project itself.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Rodrigo. And I mean, you know, and there's all these little unforeseen things, you know, like our installers, they put up cones on the sidewalk so that they could, you know, get their in and out of the truck. But the students have a reputation of not thinking that the cones apply to them, and so they're walking across your path anyway. And you know, it's it's always an adventure, but it's also really rewarding when you have a project work out as well as this one did.
Yeah, I think it's we take it for granted, you know, spending time on the construction site, that everybody knows and follows the same rules, and you know, students not knowing exactly what to go through. So if we focus on the solution to address this problem, how did this project come all together, and what kind of products were utilized in the making of it?
Yeah, well, this was one of the projects where, first of all, we probably spent more time pre-order on site figuring out all these little details than we normally would. But that's kind of, you know, that's kind of our job, and it's the secret to success. You know, so we used the IEC Accutone 2 panel. It's a great panel for the music practice room. It has a good TL rating. It has an STC, I believe, of 53, And you have to check me on that, Rodrigo. But
no, you're correct.
But it also has an NRC of 0.8. So it's got some absorption, and the resulting practice room with all Accutone 2 panels has a beautiful combination of being bright enough so that the music students can hear a reflection in their ear, because no student wants to hear be in a completely dead room because they want to hear what they're practicing. But it also has enough absorption so that the overall NIC of the room, the transmission from room to the corridor, is a high one. So we used the Accutone 2 panel. That was the obvious choice. And the second thing that we did was we designed all the rooms that fit into common size panels. So all our panels were interchangeable. If if there's 14 rooms and you're working on, room one, that it has a combination of panels that would also fit on room 14. And that was really key as far as the logistics, because we've tried in the past to kind of have IEC crate things. All right, crate number one should have these panels, crate number two should have these panels, but it's really hard to deliver those things and coordinate them. So by having interchangeable panels, we could say, all right, deliver 10 15-inch panels, 5 30-inch panels, and what have you. And it didn't matter where those panels could go to room 14, they could go to room 7, they could go to room 1. So making the panels likey-likey sizes really helped both in the delivery, and it gave the crew the opportunity to, be flexible in their scheduling. With their assembly, which I mentioned earlier, and we did run into, there was one particular case where we were trying to expand a room that they had existing to be a little deeper. But when they tore it down, there was some pipes that were in our way, and we couldn't make it deeper. So instead we just deleted the panels that would have extended it. And they ended up having the same size room that they had before. But had we built it to be this other size with no flexibility, then we would have had do some field modifications. And nobody likes to do that, especially the user who feels that they pay for a factory product. So those were some of the challenges that we faced. I think that one of the things that really helped in this case was we had a customer who, facilities manager for Berklee College of Music, who I worked with directly, was also an architect. And he had the understanding of the needs, for example, the multiple deliveries, because it's just like you can't do a lot there.
I think it's pretty smart on your end, to kind of configure it that way. Because I'm assuming that the space for staging was not very big, right? So like you mentioned, if we were to send room one, then it would have to be a delivery for just one room or two and not have enough space to move things around at the site. And then when you find situations where you started demoing stuff, you would, like in the case that you mentioned, where you find the pipes, then you had the flexibility to move things around and continue to move forward without, putting the project at halt.
Yeah, exactly. And, I think a lot of that, Rodrigo, comes with experience. I've been doing this for a long time, and I think I've probably made every mistake out there, and the installers are never afraid to let you know about your mistakes. And that's so, put a lot of thought into it. One of the other things that I really need to mention is IEC, when we were running this project, and we designed with IEC, Quiet Star designed, IEC built, and then together we collaborated to kind of do the final design of a ventilation panel so that you can access and maintenance the ventilation fan from the inside of the room. Now, this kind of came to our attention when we had done 5 rooms earlier the year before, and they were so backed up that one of the installers saying, look, these guys are never going to be able to access the fans if they need to maintenance them. And we did some tricks on site that you know, they could access them if they had to, but it was never going to be easy. So when they ordered these 14 rooms to go into, you know, largely the same general area of the school, I decided, as like, you know, we just need to get better at this. And so I Quiet Star sketched out a concept for a panel that would have the fan in it, but it would also have some plates and integration so that we maintain the transmission loss of the IEC, and they call it a blister pack. It's a ventilation silencer attached to a panel. But it had everything integrated, but also had internal hatch available to access that fan from the inside. And it really, it made building the panel a lot more complicated. And Quiet Star designed it. We sent the design over to IEC. The IEC engineers laid it out. And then I actually flew out to the plant and sat down with the guys in the shop, and we, you know, sort of, you know, assembled the whole thing together. And the first one we came out with, we did one as a kind of a proof of concept. It came out like 90% right, but there was a couple little things, and each room has two blister packs of ventilation for intake and exhaust. And so, you know, 90% right of 14 rooms, two panels a room, 28 panels. I'm going to hear about field modifications that needed to be done to access it from the installers. And so, you know, to IEC's credit, they shipped us the panel. We made some notes on it. They did some revisions, and then they built all 28 of them. They came out beautifully. And I fully expect to use this panel again in these kind of situations. But what I was very impressed with is the willingness of IEC to do this, because everyone has a harebrained idea on how they can make things better, but no one has to build it. And IEC came in and said, well, we're willing to take a chance on this. So I was very, very proud of that aspect of this, of this part of the project, because now when they need to, look, the old rooms were 40 years old. These fans are electric. They're going to have failures, 10, 15 years down the road. Someone's going to be very happy that they don't have to, climb on the ceiling of a room that has no room to climb onto to try to change a fan. Or just what Berklee College of Music did with the old rooms that we took down, they just didn't replace the fans, and they were just stuffy.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, pretty much all my career has been in manufacturing, so building stuff and taking care of equipment. And one of the biggest complaints I've always had is that when people design things, they come in and they design it, they install it, and it's up and running, but they don't think, about the people that are going to do it after they're going to provide the maintenance of it. And, this is a great example where, that was well thought of in order to continue to provide service to the fans in this case. It's always good to hear that collaboration, there's a willingness to provide the right solution. And now I'm excited to hear that, even though it was a 90% success on that first trial, that, it was a little bit more tweaks and that need to be done, but at the end it provided the product and the service that the customer was looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Another challenge we had on this room, or I should say this project, was the very low ceiling height. And we actually lowered the height of the rooms, all of them, by 1 inch. By lowering by 1 inch, all the rooms had between an inch and a quarter and an inch and three quarters of clearance between the top of our rooms and the top of the ceiling. So all the electrical, all the ventilation packs, all the stuff, a lot of stuff that normally you'd find on the ceiling on these rooms, we had to put on the sides for access. And then, of course, that kind of led into my idea of doing the ventilation with internal access, because you just weren't going to get between these rooms, and you couldn't certainly get on the top of them.
Looks like innovation at its best.
The one thing that I think that You're with Quiet Star. We try to be Mr. Good Rep. What we really think that we want to be the eyes and ears in the field. Spend a lot of time walking the path that the product has to come in. We spend time measuring the elevator if we need to for the elevator. We spend time making sure that customer gets what the customer needs. And sometimes if I have 30 years experience doing this and the customer's buying their first set of practice rooms, then I'm going to have some insights of stuff that they might not know about. So we did spend a lot of time on this. I think it's one of the reasons that, again, I'm particularly proud of this project and my relationship with the Berklee College of Music, because in the end, the manufacturer and ourselves and everyone wants to have a successful project that is successful not only to the day it's finished, but successful 25, 35 years from now, where they're still using the rooms and they're well maintained.
Yeah, there's a lot of pride to take on that. And like you mentioned, we want to make sure that, all our products are built up so that they can last and they can perform, guarantee that performance. What were the results after the project was completed? And what kind of feedback did you hear from Berklee?
Yeah, well, again, everything was really positive. Customers, key point person on site, was very, very accommodating in terms of listening to, what we had to say and following it. And, for example, I remember at one point he was saying, why do we need to do, and I'm making up a number, it was like 20 deliveries, right? For 14 rooms, we did 20 deliveries. And, when we were budgeting it, I budgeted those, the cost of those deliveries. And it's like, well, why don't we just do two deliveries? And it's like, well, let's not go down the same path that happens every time, because that's what we tried to do in the last, one. And it was difficult. And as a result, the students were less happy and everything. So they were really good at listening. And so I really have to applaud the owner's rep on this. And then when we got done, you imagine these rooms are, we used a color called First Star, which is my favorite standard IEC color, and not quite white. It's a little darker than white, a very light, light gray, but it looks whitish, especially when you have some good lighting on it. So you can imagine that it went from this dim area with 40-year-old rooms that were falling apart, that weren't isolating very well. We took all those down. They finished off some of the ceilings that were crumbling. They got in new carpet and they put in our rooms. And then we put little closer plates between the rooms to smooth them out. And then you take a look at it, and here's a row of beautiful white, well-lit practice rooms. And, you're like, well, this is a really nice looking area. And then, you open the door and you're like, oh, there's someone in here practicing. So, the real rewarding part and the success of it, the customer's happy. And really, the goal is hopefully they'll use this and build on it and do some more. The students, I think one of my favorite stories was with the 14 rooms, we had, obviously some were done ahead of others, still a construction site. And the guys would come in and there'd be kids practicing in the rooms. It's like, oh, you guys, you got to go out. This isn't ready yet. We haven't even hooked up the electricity. So the need for practice areas, it's one of the things that schools of music are judged by. I think that there's a certain ratio. I think someone once told me that for every student for every six or seven students that a school of music has, they should have at least one practice area. And so with the Berklee College of Music, they want to tout as many practice areas for the students as possible, because the students, they don't want to wait in line or reserve practice rooms. They just want to go in there and grab them. So we were able to get these 14 in there. We were able to use more space. So some of the rooms were bigger than previous ones, and the students always love that. And so everyone was happy in that end. And like I said, hopefully they'll update some of the more areas, because as far as I know, the Berklee College of Music has well over 100 music practice spaces in their campus, which comprises a lot of Boston downtowns.
Yeah, for me, I saw pictures of before, during install, and after. And aesthetically, it's just very pleasing to see the results. I'm yet to go and see it and experience, because one of the things that, like you had mentioned, is you walk in and you don't realize that somebody's already, you know, one of the rooms and practicing, because, you know, the level of sound attenuation is there, right?
Yeah. Years ago, we had an installer, and whenever he did a row of practice rooms, let's just say there's six of them all in a row, he would he'd bring the owner down and he'd play a game that he called Hide the Boombox. And what he would do is he put a boombox in one of the rooms, and then he would turn it up as high as he felt that he could without having it be heard outside. And then when the owner came by, or the owner's representative, he'd say, all right, well, here's this row of practice rooms. We finished them all. And he goes, oh, by the way, which room has the boombox playing in it? And, you know, and then, of course, you couldn't hear the boombox because he had it turned to exactly the level of isolation that the room provided. And then, then he'd go down and he'd open up all the rooms. And finally, one of them he'd open up and he'd get this blast of music. And it was always fun and in a way to impress the customer of the value of these rooms.
That's amazing. I love to hear that story.
Yeah.
Are there any other details or, you know, information you'd like to share about this project?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's always a challenge. One of the things I learned in this industry is that every project is unique. And what we didn't learn at the Berklee College of Music doesn't necessarily apply to other projects, but you know, you learn some methods and you apply those methods to other projects. I mean, I think every guy in my shoes has learned to be very careful of measuring an elevator. I can't tell you how many times that we've had rooms laid out and it's like, oh, guess what? It doesn't fit in the doorway or it doesn't fit in the elevator. And then, you know, you're making these, you know, concessions. And of course, all that just costs the project time and money. And obviously, you don't want to do that. So I think that regarding comments on this one, I'm really hoping that that Berklee will continue to sort of update all their rooms. I think that we've proven to them that we're the team to as far as the product and the services for them to go to. And I will also say that we weren't the cheapest. We were more expensive than the other company that they looked at. And the other company that they looked at was the company that had put the rooms in 40 years ago. And it was interesting because, you know, I had heard that we were high priced. And I kind of thought, well, you know, that means you know, this project's probably not going to happen. And then they decided to do just five the year prior, and we did that, and I alluded to that earlier. And I was asking them, well, okay, I appreciate your business, and now we're all talking, and I was like, why didn't you go with the other manufacturer? And they're like, well, you know, the guy who came down to, you know, look at the space and give us the quote, he didn't know anything. You know, he didn't bring up any, he just, you know, he just obviously was a warm body to go see a customer, but didn't have the depth of knowledge and experience that that evidently in Rodrigo, I apologize, I have a reputation of being long-winded, but you know, we talk about this stuff, and they were like, you know, we had a lot of faith in you being able to manage these challenges, because we're not the only person who has or the type of vendor who has problems dealing with downtown historic Boston and getting getting stuff involved. And I think they've had a lot of disasters in trying to service their buildings, whether it's craning up an air conditioner onto the roof or upgrading some stuff where plumbers are like, I can't. They have a lot of issues with being 100-year-old buildings and what have you, not just us, but for us to be able to recognize them and address them and say how we're going to address them. And I think that gave us the confidence. And in the end, you know, you want to provide value. You don't want to just provide the cheapest price. And I think that we provided a value here. We were on time. We were on budget. Look, there's always a few, things that change, but we didn't go back and ask for any change orders. We didn't ask for any extra considerations. And the truth be known is project was delayed a little because the carpet folks and the other trades couldn't keep up with us. And so I always say that, it's okay if a project runs a little late, just never let it be our fault. And they ended up being a couple weeks late on their choice, but it didn't impact anyone. And certainly it wasn't because of us.
Well, that's great to hear. And yeah, I agree with you. I'm pretty sure their experiences with other projects and knowing the the area there in Boston, being with the conditions that they're at, if you go with the less expensive, there might be a reason why, that's, you're going to pay it after, right? Whether it's with change orders or other, things. I appreciate that, you guys were on budget and you showed, the level of expertise that you did by doing the follow-up visits and understanding the site conditions, all the things that you talked about earlier at the beginning of this session. There's a lot to say about the experience and knowledge that you guys bring to the table.
Well, thanks. I guess this one was a tough one, but the ones you remember are the tough ones that you rose to the occasion, and the easy ones you forget them, and you're not nearly as proud of them. And I'm very proud of this. And like I said, my, the fact that this was done in my hometown, where I grew up in the 60s. it was my home stomping ground. I'm just very familiar with the area. One of the site visits, you went down there, and then we all just walked over to Fenway Park and caught a Red Sox game. I mean, all that stuff makes it memorable. And like I said, my experience with IEC on this one was such a one of collaboration. And sometimes the reps in the factory, kind of have different viewpoints, not on this project and typically not with Quiet Star. We were all on the same page. And like I said, it was very rewarding, and I hope we do some more with them.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place for us to end this. Thank you, Steve, for your time and sharing those wonderful details.
We thank you for taking the time to listen to today's episode. If you would like to learn more about IAC Acoustics and Quiet Star Industries, you can visit the company websites at iacacoustics.com or quietstarindustries.com. Additionally, please be sure to subscribe to Catalyst Conversations. And if you've been enjoying these discussions, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating or review to help others in the industry learn more about our podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore noise and sound control advancements shaping the future of industries worldwide.